Take your Bibles this morning, if you would, and turn to the book of 2 Timothy. The book of 2 Timothy in the New Testament. One of the important books of the New Testament that the Apostle Paul was given a letter to write to the young man Timothy. And as Paul writes this, we know that as this has been placed in the canon of the Scripture or the copies of the Word of God, we know that the Lord inspired him to write these things to Timothy, that this was truth to him. And since it has been preserved unto us, we know that Paul was writing not only to one young man, Timothy, but he was writing to all of us as children of God. And so those words that we will read and the words that are in these letters that we have in our New Testament, these are words that were directed toward an individual, but it's given to us now collectively as the people of the Lord, as God inspired him to write these things for his edification and also for you and I. And this morning in 2 Timothy chapter number 4, we have experienced some very eventful things this past week. There are some things that have happened in our country that we would have never thought would take place. We are living in a world that has become very, very dangerous. You cannot suppose anything. And we find that, of course, we know the bombings there in Boston and how that city was under terror for those days and not being able to get out of their house. And we know the men that were people that were killed, the young boy, the lady, and a man, and then a police officer killed, and one very gravely wounded, still in very critical condition. And so it's been a very eventful week. While that was all going on, we heard about the explosion there in Texas, and I saw the pictures of that this morning, how devastating that was. And many people maimed and killed there also. One of those events was on purpose. One of those they're classifying probably as an accident that happened. We hear murders all across our country. We hear of terrible, terrible things. Worldwide, you have manifold many diseases. You have earthquakes. I watched this morning as they pulled a little baby from the rubble in the earthquake there in China. And multiple people have been killed there. And everywhere we look, we find there are terrible events that take place. And as our brother this morning in Sunday school gave the lesson, he gave the truth of what we must do. The only way that we're going to help these folks is by the gospel. The only way we're going to make people change is not giving them more money. It's not by teaching them things. But what really would make a difference is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul writes to this young preacher by the name of Timothy. And he gives him the instruction that is very needful for all of us. And this morning I want to look at these verses a little differently maybe than I ever have, and just try to give you some things I hope that will help us. Not only did it help Timothy, but it ought to help us. And let's just read a few verses here together in chapter 4 of 2 Timothy. Paul says, "I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and the kingdom, preach the word." Paul is telling Timothy, this young preacher, really he says, the only thing that we have to do is to preach the word. Now, there's a lot of facets, there's a lot of angles, a lot of ways that we do that, but the only thing that will get the job done is the preaching of the word of God. And so he tells and charges Timothy, says, "Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. That just simply means those folks that are not responding to the Word of God, they're going to find them teachers that will tell them what they want to hear. They'll tell them what they desire in their hearts, and it is a result of not following after sound doctrine. Notice verse 4. The result of this is that, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou therefore in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Here in these words, Paul is encouraging this young man just simply to be faithful unto the Lord. If there is one thing that we need in our churches, if it's one thing we need in our country, is that Christians come to the realization that the only thing we have is Jesus Christ, and we must be faithful unto Him. These verses here give us some of the greatest words of encouragement of all the Scripture. Here we find the statesman or the elder, Paul, writing to the young man and encouraging him in his life. Paul says, my life is over. I'm ready to be offered. My time has been spent and my life is finished. But Timothy, there's still a job to be done. There's still a work that must be done. And so he charges Timothy. He gives him a command that he is to preach the Word of God. Paul has now, as we said, he's come to the end of his life, and he takes inventory of his life. You know, it's good every once in a while for us to take inventory. It's good for me to take inventory and to look and see what is really going on. What have really I done? And so Paul takes inventory of his life there in verse number 6 and verse number 7, those verses we read. As he looks at his life, he says, I'm ready to be offered. He said, I'm just ready. Things are finished in my life, and so I'm ready to be offered. He is saying, I'm ready to leave. He's ready to go home. You know that we have, as a child of God, as a Christian, we have a great home waiting for us. And Paul says, I'm ready. Paul says that I'm ready to be offered. I'm ready to go home. And he's taking inventory. He talks about and looks in his life. He said, I've fought a fight, and it's been a good fight. You can read the life of the Apostle Paul, you'll find that he was fighting all the time. He was in struggles continually. Every time he went to a city, there was a fight. There was a battle that was raging. He said, I have finished my course. He said, what God has given me, he said, I have completed. And what a wonderful blessing it is to be able to say, I have finished. It's a wonderful thing to say that the Lord has led me a certain way, a certain direction, and I have finished what God gave me to do. That is a blessing above all blessings. And Paul understood his life now has come to the moments just before he's going to draw his last breath. He's in prison as he writes this, and he is sitting there and maybe recanting and remembering some of the good things and the good days as he was in those cities like Ephesus and as he's on his as there in Rome now, and as he has gone different places, as we've studied in our lessons in Acts, how that he made those trips and those missionary journeys, and maybe he's just recanting, and he's looked over that, and he said, "Man, I fought a good fight." It's a great thing to be able to say, "I fought a good fight." It's a great thing to be able to say, "I've finished my course," and he said, "I've flourished, or I have kept the faith." Paul said, I haven't wavered to or fro, and I haven't gone back upon the Word of God. I have stayed true to the message of the Lord. And may that be the testimony of Grace Baptist Church. May that be the testimony personally, individually, of you and I. That people would say when they hear about it that we have died, that we have no longer living. Somebody might say, well, I knew them, and they always lived what they said they believed. May God help us to do that. And so this morning, as Paul takes inventory, he also gives instruction. He looks at his life, and now he instructs this young man that's really going to take over, take in the space, take up the time of this preacher that's going to be, he's going to be beheaded. Paul was a martyr for the cause of Christ, and he's in the prison. He's waiting that day when they're going to lead him out to the guillotine and his head would be severed from his body. I don't know if I could sit there and say I fought a good fight or not. It might have felt like I'd lost. But Paul, understanding and knowing the will of God, and that's the key to it. Understanding and knowing, accomplishing the will of God. And by the way, God has a will for all of us. He has something for us to have accomplished in our life. And so Paul gives instruction to this young man, Timothy. He said, preach the word. He didn't tell him anything else, just preach the word. And of course we know that is the word of God. He tells him how to preach it consistently, in season and out of season. Every preacher that has stood behind a pulpit, there's been times that he's had to preach and he knows he's out of season. He knows it's just not the way it ought to be. He knows something's wrong. And he realizes that there's downfalls and pitfalls and problems. But he preaches anyway because that's the call of God upon his life, consistently. And so Paul preaches in season. Oh, thank God for those in season times. When you know the Lord is there, you know the presence of God, and everything is well. And Paul just simply tells him to preach consistently, in season, out of season. Not only is he to preach consistently, but he is to preach convincingly. He's to convince people that what he is saying is true. It's my obligation, it's my duty as a preacher of the gospel to convince people that this word is true. And we are to do that. The Bible says we do that by reproof and rebuke and exhortation. It's an amazing thing when you can preach a message and to this individual, it may be a great rebuke in their life. And to another person that hears the same words, it's a word of encouragement. To reprove and to rebuke and to exhort. Sometimes it's all in the same message and the preacher has no way, no earthly way of knowing where the Word of God is falling. And what kind of heart that is receiving the message of salvation or the message of God's Word. But we are to preach the Word consistently. The Word of God is to be preached convincingly. And the Word of God is to be preached with conviction. We know we're right. We know the Word of God. We know we're true. And we're to do it with long-suffering and doctrine. Now, to preach anything outside of the doctrine of God's Word is nothing but fairy tales and fables. And so Paul is telling this young preacher, here's how you do it. And Paul calls him his son in the gospel. And I want us to think this morning, for a little bit, upon the philosophy of a son. That's S-O-N. What kind of heart am I to have? What kind of heart are you to have? What kind of heart are we to have when it comes to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? And so he tells him here to preach the word. He tells him also and instructs him to watch in verse number 5. Verse 5, he says, but watch thou in all things. That means to be alert. That means to know what's going on. And we have heard in days gone by and even this week that we are to be aware of our surroundings. You know what that means? That means to watch what's going on around you. And as a child of God, as a Christian, Paul says to Timothy, watch thou in all things. So to be alert. He tells him here in verse 5 also that he's going to endure affliction. My son, you're going to have affliction in your life. That may be a mental affliction. I'll tell you what, that's bad. When the devil gets in your mind, he begins to make you think things that's not real. And when some things are said that you take them wrong. And by the way, the preacher does that just like you do. And so that's why we are told to watch and to be careful. He says, watch thou in all things. Endure affliction, whether it be a mental affliction that comes upon you by yourself or by the wicked one. By the way, there is a battle for our thought patterns and a battle for our minds and a battle for everything that we think about. It's there. And so Paul says, Timothy, you better be careful and know that the afflictions are going to come. On Wednesday nights, we're going through some messages on this thing of warfare. Buddy, we're in a war. And the warfare sometimes is right here. It may be calm out there, but inside the war rages and the battle goes. So he tells him, endure affliction, whether it be mental, and Paul certainly could attest to the fact it might be physical. Paul had been whipped. Paul had been beaten. Paul had been left for dead. And so, Timothy, I've finished my course. Endure affliction. Timothy knew about some of those afflictions because Timothy was a young man that traveled around with Paul in the latter days of his life. He knew of some of the whippings. He knew of some of the beatings. And now he hears Paul tell him, watch in all things, endure afflictions. He tells him not only to watch, but he tells him in verse 5 to do the work of an evangelist. He's talking to his son now. He's working in his heart and his life to get him a philosophy of his life, to how that we are to respond and what we are to do. So he tells him to work, the work of evangelist. He says in verse 5, make full proof of thy ministry. All the evidence is there as to what was accomplished in the ministry of the Apostle Paul, and now Timothy is beginning to step in that place. Do you know that for every one of us here in this building, that there is coming a day that somebody will have to take our place? Somewhere down the line, there will be somebody that has to take your place because you're not going to be able to do it. The process of time comes upon us. We call it age. And sometimes physical problems, sometimes emotional difficulties come and stress comes upon that we cannot perform the job and the task like we used to. And somebody's going to have to take over. So Timothy, make full proof of your ministry. Know what you're accomplishing. Know what it is. So he tells him, he gives him instruction to preach the word. He gives him instruction to watch. He gives him instruction to endure affliction. He gives him instruction to work. He gives him instruction to make full proof. Now he gives him a warning in verse number 3 and verse number 4. Verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound teaching or sound doctrine. Timothy, Paul knew that as time goes on, there's always that possibility and probability that false teachers would raise their head and propagate their message. Paul said to the Galatians, I'm amazed that you're so quickly removed from what I gave you. He said, I marvel that you're so quickly removed. So he gives him a warning in verse 3 that there's a time coming, Timothy, that it may be different than when I preached. You see, when Paul preached, he opened up the field of the world. And what he preached, they'd never heard anything different. They'd never had a false teacher come in behind or beside him. And what Paul was preaching was the inspired message of God, and people would hear it and they'd get saved. But as time progresses, people always have their own ideas about things, and sometimes it does not coincide with the Word of God. Somebody says, why do we have so many different faiths? Or why do we have so many different ideas? It's because time has progressed that people disagree. But Timothy, you know, you be aware that there is a time coming when they will not endure. That word sound means complete doctrine. And if that was true 2,000 years ago, buddy, you better look around tonight, today. He tells him that they're going to be blinded and their desires are going to be prideful. Those elations of their own heart are going to bring about certain things in their life, and they're going to have itching ears. They're going to have ears that want to hear what they want to hear, not the truth. So, Timothy, be careful. Here's your philosophy, Timothy. Know that not everyone is true. Not everyone is right. No wonder the Scripture says that we are to look and we're to prove what we hear. No wonder we find that Paul says they're teachers having itching ears. Well, I don't like so-and-so the way he is and what he teaches, so I'm going to go down the road here to somewhere else that I don't get so upset about. Now, that's listed with people that will not endure sound doctrine. So, Timothy, understand, there'll be times they won't hear you. There'll be times they'll leave you and go to somewhere else. But know also, Timothy, verse number 4, and they shall turn their ears from the truth. Now, when you turn your heart and your life away from the truth, when anyone does that, there's not but one place to turn. And that's the fairy tales and the fables. When you turn yourself away from this blessed old book, when you say, I don't want this, I don't care for this, I don't have this anymore, this is old-fashioned, I don't want that. When you turn from the Word of God, then the only thing that's left is a fairy tale or a fable over here that doesn't do you any good. So, Timothy, here's your philosophy. Endure the hardness. Endure the struggles. Preach the Word all the time doing that. Know that those around you will not maybe hear you, will not listen. Know that they'll be blinded by their own pride and their own ways, and they'll have itching ears, and they'll turn from the truth, and they'll turn to fables. What are we to do when we see that happen? And by the way, you and I this morning, we see that happening every day. What are we to do? Give up? Throw up our hands and say there's no use? No, we're to do the first three things, first three words that Paul gave to Timothy. Preach the Word. Preach the message. Preach what God has here for you. If people want it, fine. Praise the Lord. If they don't want it, preach the Word. If they want to go down the street, preach the Word. If they want to rebel against you, if they want to give hardship to you, preach the Word. And so we find in these verses is a philosophy or a teaching that Paul gives to this young preacher, how that he can finish his course just like Paul finished his course. And by the way, I'd like for these young folks around here, I'd like for them to finish their course. Whatever it might be. I'd like for young adults to finish their course. I'm on the downhill drag now. I was in a meeting yesterday, and the preacher said, I used to be the younger preacher in the group, and I looked around and said, oh me, he's still in the young group. I'm the older preacher of the group. And so we're on the downhill run, and we're going that direction. That's the process of time. But what are we to do? We're to desire that Timothy do the same thing we do. We're to desire that families and young people and young adults and middle-aged adults, that we do the same thing that we've always done. Why? Because there's going to be others coming up that need what we've had. I've said so many times, and this is just my introduction. I've said so many times that I'm thankful for a preacher. I'm thankful for a church. I'm thankful for parents. I'm thankful for grandparents. I'm thankful for Sunday school teachers that gave me what was in their heart, that I could do what I'm doing now. And may God help us to do the same thing for the group coming up behind us. Paul says, he is now ready. That means there was a time when he wasn't ready, but he's ready now. He's gone through that learning process. And I want to give you five things this morning. And I know I knew my introduction would be the longer part of the message, but I want to give you five things that will give you a good philosophy of a son, of a child of God. Number one, realize that we are servants. Look in the book of Titus, chapter number 1, and verse number 1. Titus chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of God. Now, Paul recognized where he was. Paul, a servant of God. That means that we're just simply under the command of our commander-in-chief. And by the way, he don't live in Washington. He lives and abides in heaven. And so Paul says, I'm a servant of God. There are five places, I'll not give them to you. There's five places where Paul says he's a prisoner. Not only is he a servant, but he's in bonds. He's a prisoner. He has to do what he's told to do because he's under bondage. But not only is he a servant of God, look in Romans chapter 1. I like this. Romans chapter number 1. And verse number 1. First words there, Paul, a servant of who? A servant of Jesus Christ. What's the difference? He's a servant of God. And now he says in Romans he's a servant of Christ. I'll tell you, the difference is the perception that people have on who you are. Do you know this morning we can go all across our country. You can get on TV. You can get on radio. You can make speeches at the courthouses. You can go anywhere. And you can talk about God. But when you narrow it down, you put it down right to the point, I'm a servant of Jesus Christ. Makes a difference. Everybody believes in God. Most everybody. Well, I really believe everybody does. Even if they call themselves an atheist, they believe in God. They have become their own God. But everybody believes in an authority. But boy, when you put it down that you believe in the authority is Jesus Christ, that makes the rubber meet the road. All of a sudden, you're identifying that you believe that God, who is up there, is the God that came down here. All of a sudden, that God that's so impersonal up there became a personal God down here. His name's Jesus. I like those songs they sung a while ago. It's about Jesus. Praise the Lord. Now you can go and praise God, and nobody's going to fuss at you too much. You can even say praise the Lord, and they're not going to say too much. But when you say praise Jesus, that really identifies you of who you are. It ought to be our philosophy that they know who we are. Amen. That name that is given among men whereby we must be saved. You're not saved any other way except through the name of Jesus Christ. That name that is above every name. That name that's higher than all. And so Paul says, I'm a servant. If you look up that word servant, you'll find out it's a bond servant. You know what a bond servant is? Come here, Brother Bradley. Come here. I don't hardly ever do this. Come here. Oh, I like this. Brother Bradley's my slave. He's my servant. Brother Brad, sit down. Brother Brad, get up. You know why he does that? Because he's my servant. Paul said he was a servant. Now, but he also, when he uses that word servant, he says, I'm a bond servant. A bond servant is a man that has been owned by someone and he's been set free. But he decides, I'm going to stay with you. You set me free, but wherever you go, I'm going to go. Whatever you have for me, I want to do it. I'll put my ear against the wall and put the awl in it, and I'm your servant. I'm that one that will sat down because you want me to, not because I have to. Go ahead and be seated. We are the ones that will just do because we desire to do. I hope this morning that you are a bondservant of the Lord, that you come to the house of God, not because it's expected of you, not because you have to, but because you want to. That's a bondservant. There's a lot of people out here in this world that are Christians, and they're servants of God. But they've never made that transition to the servants of Christ, that bondservant. There's sometimes when we're in the house of God, we are servants of God, but I don't get too involved in this thing of Jesus. I've had people tell me that name Jesus makes me nervous. God makes happy. So he tells this philosophy here is to be a servant. Paul says, I've been a servant of God, but I'm also a servant of Christ. I'm not here because I have to. I'm here because I want to. Because I desire to. Not only that, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and I don't have time to develop all these things. These messages that I think are going to be short could be turned into series. I don't know how that happens. But in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So that shows us a battle. The next verse says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. You and I this morning have been chosen of God to be a soldier worthy of fighting the battle and standing the truth, enduring the affliction. That ought to be our philosophy as a believer, that I'm going to do what He wants me to do. And I'll fight the good fight of faith. A servant, a soldier. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. Moreover, it is required of a steward that a man be found faithful. So to have the right philosophy, we have to be a servant, a bondservant. We have to be a soldier, a good soldier. And we're to be a steward. Now the word steward means caretaker. All that's required of a steward, of a caretaker. God's given us things to take care of. And all that's required of us, not that we be world known, not that our neighbors know about us, not that the community applauds us. All that's required is that we be found faithful. That's a tough word. If we're a caretaker, if we're a keeper of the things of God, then we'll have to be faithful. That ought to be our philosophy. To be a caretaker that God can depend upon. When He leaves things in our possession, by the way, it's all His anyway. To be a good steward, you've got to recognize two things. You've got to recognize it's all His. That car you drive, the house you live in, it's all His. The money in the bank, the money in the billfold, it's all His. And a good steward is that we take care of it. And if we're a servant, we do what He says with it. Oh, it gets a little worse. It gets a little tighter. And we not only recognize that it's His, but we must realize to be a good steward, it does not just happen. We have to work at it. We have to work at it. Years ago, the TV program, a fellow by the name of Maynard G. Krebs was on there. Every time he'd say the word, he'd hear the word work, he'd say, work! I'm telling my age now. Y'all never heard of him. Seth, you ever heard of Maynard G. Krebs? You ain't lived, son. And every time he'd hear the word work, he'd just go into a frenzy. But you and I, what we do for God, it takes work. It does not just fall in our laps. It does not just happen. It does not just come about. To be a steward. Go back to Romans chapter 1. I'm hurrying. Romans chapter 1, verse 1 again. Paul, a servant, a bond servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. Now notice the last phrase here in that verse. Not just called to be an apostle, but he has been separated to the gospel. Now it gets a little bit tough here, because we Baptist people, we have hollered long, loud about separation, and it should be. But the Bible tells us, first of all, is to be separated to the gospel. Separated to the cause of Christ. Separated to telling people. Our philosophy ought to be, and we have lost some things in our philosophy, our philosophy should be to tell everybody about Jesus Christ. To tell the world that Jesus saves. We don't have a whole lot of problem going around the world, but we have a lot of problem going around the block. We can tell the world through a missionary, but it's hard to tell our neighbors through our mouth. That's part of the philosophy that we should have as a believer. Separated to the gospel. It is the gospel, the power of God unto salvation. Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." The gospel of Jesus Christ. What is it? It's the death, the burial, the resurrection. Jesus was buried. Jesus arose. All those things according to the Scripture. According to the gospel. Now, I'm going to put a challenge out to us this morning. I think a message ought to challenge us. And in this challenge will be the last point. To be a, have the right philosophy of a son separated to the gospel so that salvation, number five, salvation is given to everyone that will receive. That ought to be our philosophy. I've asked Brother Justin Cardinal if he would just sort of take over this thing of getting some things together, and it's going to take your help, take my help, of just sort of directing some folks that you know that need the Lord. Some folks that you know that just need something from God. That you know that need to be in the house of the Lord. And I'm going to, sometime here in the very near future, I'm going to find out how many would be willing to help us do that. And I'm talking about telling people about Jesus Christ. I'm going to order some New Testaments that help you go through there. And I want to do some teaching on telling how to get somebody, how to tell them to be saved. How to be saved. How to be born again. I got on the internet this morning and looked, and there's places where you can order some soul winners New Testaments. So I don't understand. You can read here, go this verse, that verse, and I know that's cut dry. I know that's canned, and I know sometimes that don't work, but it will work. Because we have lost the separation to the gospel. Our nation has lost that. We got everything else going on, but we've lost the real important that we can say, I'm ready to be offered. Some of you, Brother Jay, this morning, or maybe it's Betty, said, pray for my sons. Somebody will maybe get in their heart and go say, hey, we'd love to have you back in church. Well, they might not like it, so. She has prayer requests all the time. Pray for my lost loved ones. Let's get some names. not just pray for them, but get some philosophy. Let's go give them a tract. Give them something. Oh, I can't do that. Brother, I wish everybody could have been in Sunday school this morning, because Brother Gallagher is telling about the best way of testifying is what God's done for us. If He's done something for you, you can tell somebody what He's done. Oh, you may not go to Acts and Romans and Corinthians. You may not have all that ability to follow the Scripture through, but you can tell your neighbor, you can tell your friend, here's what God's done for me. He's made me a new creature. He's helped me. And I'm interested in you. And that's all you have to do. Well, the devil, he blows that up bigger than this building, so you never get it done. What philosophy do we have? Well, preacher, I can't come out every Thursday. I haven't said a word about every Thursday. And I do believe there's times in the week that we can tell somebody about the Lord. And I'm, me and Brother Justin, we're going to get together and get some things together where some folks can, hey, it don't take all day. Just give an hour to the Lord. Go talk to your neighbor. Go talk to your friends. If you don't go talk to your family, then somebody else can. Now, family's hard. They're tough. But those are the first ones we ought to be interested in. I think we're missing a wonderful opportunity by not going up here to the hospital and making some rounds there in the CCU. Those people need somebody to just be friendly with them. There's a church here in town that literally was built out of the hospital. And they run 800 now. But when they first started, they built it out of people hurting in the hospital. Brother Earl knows that. Brother Jay knows that. We just need to get where people are. Paul, Timothy, here's what you need to do. And I've tried to lay it out this morning as simple as I know. You and I, as a Christian, we ought to want to give the gospel. Not just, thank God I'm saved. Oh, give the gospel to our acquaintances. And then if we don't know them. Brother Decker challenged us to take tracts and hand them out. That's one of the best ways you can tell people about the Lord. And you don't have to say a word. You don't start out as a preacher. You start out as a scared individual and say, I don't know if I can do this or not, but here it is. That's philosophy. May God help us this morning to have the philosophy of a Son of God. What He wants us to do as a believer. Preacher, you talking about selling out? No, I'm just talking about giving a few minutes. We can talk about the weather. We can talk about cars, we can talk about ball, we can talk about everything. While our neighbors die without hearing us talk about the Lord. It's important. If we really believe what we say we believe, then we're interested. And it's too late to say, well, I wonder if they were saved. I wonder if they went to heaven. It's too late to say that when you read in the paper or you hear on the news that they've died. Too late to wonder then. We need to wonder now. And so, you pray with me about that. You, and I may call on some of you to help. And you say, I can't do it. Then at least go with somebody that can, just to have a presence and just to have a encounter with folks that they need the Lord. If it's nothing more than handing out a tract, we'll supply the tracts. We'll supply the door hangers when we go out. Now, you all know me well enough that I'm not talking about this. 1, 2, 3, repeat after me, that makes you a Christian. That's a sour spot in my heart. And that's probably one of the reasons I haven't pushed a whole lot of things that need to be pushed, because I'm not going to have that. I believe the Spirit of God is the one that draws, not me. And the Bible says, he that wins souls is wise. So we need to be wise. But just to buttonhole everybody, and just because they say a little prayer, does not mean a thing. Let's stand together this morning. I'll tell you this, some of you know it, some of you probably heard it. A few years ago, come on up and just get ready.